OTR and 4ZLK.
This is M0OTR. Well, you making a long chain on the way home?
Over halfway now. I had to talk to the daughter for a little while, and her boyfriend was over. So I got to chat with both of them for a little while.
Excellent. Well, they're doing the required emergency alert broadcast system thing here. Oh, I was looking for an article here at Channel 21, Fox News had a thing on this morning about people that had been through chemotherapy for their bladder could take high doses of vitamin C, and they'd done a study on it, and it was very, very effective, and I can't seem to find the dang thing. I was going to pass it on, but at any rate, maybe it'll be on again tonight. I don't know. Maybe Dave's listening, but it sounded very encouraging. But Shane, what size truck do you drive now on your job? I know you was pulling doubles there.
I pull a 53 for most of the day now, 53-foot trailer.
That's a full-size one. Now, the doubles are, what, 55 feet long altogether?
We're actually officially measured it, but they're 28 feet apiece, and then with the dolly between them, there's 3 or 4 feet there, so it's at least 55 feet. It might be, I think it's a little bit longer than that, 56 maybe, 57.
That's, you just can't pull in any old place with those, can you?
Well, they actually are easier to maneuver in tighter spots than a single 53. You still have to be careful that the rear trailer doesn't track with the front trailer, so you still have to swing a little wide, but you don't have to swing it nearly as wide as you do with if you're making a sharp turn as you do with a 53-foot trailer.
Is it articulated in the middle of it?
But you do, you know, just like anything, you got to be careful. Now, some of my pickups I'll make it in a single 28-foot trailer. I deliver out of that 53-foot trailer, and then I'll take it back and drop it, and depending on who's ready at what time, and I've got one shipper, they can ship out 4 or 5 53-foot trailers worth, in a day, or they might ship out 6 or 7 pallets like today. So with that one, when they only ship out that few, I'll take a short trailer over there, a pump trailer, whatever you call it, and pick up those 5 or 6 pallets, and then I've got a couple other pickups that just have 2 or 3 pallets apiece, and then I've got a couple trailer swaps that I have to make at the end of the day, where I take an empty out and pick up one they've loaded in all day.
It's amazing. You know, I used to really, it was amazing to me. I worked at after the place I worked at for 32 years shut down, I went to a couple of, well, one of them was a printing place, in Joplin, and anyways, my buddy wanted me to come back to this wheel plant, and so he said, put in your application, and I was about half scared too, because they fired more people than they hired, I think. He says, not on maintenance. He said, you get on there, it's the best job in the plant. And so I put in my application there and I got on. But those wheels were on-time delivery, you know, kind of like BMW is. I'm telling you, those forklift drivers, it was just either their foot was to the floor going forward or their foot was to the floor going backwards. I never seen anything. It was terrible rough on forklifts. Most of them, I think, were Toyotas. So they would, I don't know how they went so fast. And they would drive up over there, you know, how they back up and there's a building, and they'd go around bore that sucker and bang and run those pallets all the way to the front of that and then back up wide open. And I drove forklift quite, you know, in my life quite a bit on maintenance. But, wow. It's one of those things that turns over. It's a bad situation. And we made, 55 to 80,000 wheels a month, Shane.
Wheels. I know, I like watching some of those guys. You go to places where they're on the forklift all day long, and it's like a dance. It's like an extension, you know. They'll run right under the pallet without even stopping and get it, you know, just very smoothly lift it off the ground and reversing. And all, it's like one motion. But I can drive them, but not like that. I have to go a lot slower. Through the years, you know, I've been to companies like, oh yeah, just get on the forklift if you want, we're busy, you know. And so I never had a job where I officially ran a forklift, but I've driven many of them.
I had to pass a test in order to drive them. I don't know if it was that plant or McNally's. Anyways, Bernice just brought me down a thing to read here. Her friend had a real bad heart attack up in Kansas, and it's just amazing the consequences after that. But yeah, that was a lot of wheels. That one room had 250,000 wheels in it, and they could go back there, like you say, and those guys picked those things up and never miss a beat. The worst time I ever had is when I was real young. I got a job at Atkinson's Industries for a year, and I actually worked in the storeroom selling electrical apparatus for mine power equipment, big stuff. And this kid that worked there was, well, his daddy was very well off, put it that way, so they hired him. And he lifted me up on the forklift, just the bare forks, one day, which in these day and age, you couldn't do that because I didn't have a safety belt on, no pallet, no nothing, just standing on them. And he knew full well when you got at the top of that stroke, if you pulled that arm back to go up again, it would drop several inches. And he did that, and unbeknownst to him, one of the forks jumped off, and I was standing on them, and somehow I grabbed the front of that, and it didn't cut my fingers off or nothing, and he lowered me to the floor. It's a wonder that he didn't drop me and cripple me, I'll tell you for sure.
Yeah, a lot of things have been done, and probably still get done, but they've definitely cracked down on forklift regulations. Back when I was out of high school, I worked at a woodworking tool company, and we'd have people. I worked on Saturday mornings, usually by myself or with one other person, and we'd be open for people to come by and pick up tools. And we had a little forklift that you could push around by hand, but it was hydraulic, you know, battery operated to raise and lower. And then we had a bigger forklift, and I think that one was ride on. I was just trying to remember, but we'd have these guys come in these trucks and would get this big piece of equipment. Well, you know, they didn't match up with the dock, so we would lower that one forklift out with the other one out the dock door, lower it to the ground, and then turn it around and pick up the piece of equipment that we were loading on their truck. And we never tied anything off. I just was like, one day, this is how we got to do it. How else are we going to get this big, heavy machine into the back of their pickup truck?
Yeah, we had one of those big, big, huge forklifts, just one. And it was that way. It was a monster. And we made large kilns, you know, that were up to 135 tons. And of course, you didn't use a forklift on that, but They had a name for it, and I don't know if it was moose or what, but something that stood for big. And I never drove it but a couple of times, mostly just the regular size ones. I forget what the lift capacity was on them now, Shane. A couple thousand pounds or something like that. But many times I've seen them try to lift things. And when I worked at McNally's there for so many years, and they get a couple of guys standing on the back of the forklift because the weight they put on it was so heavy, it tipped the forklift forward.
Videos of that, I've never actually seen it in person, but N4ZLK. I have seen videos of, a truck being out on the side of the road and smaller forklift would come up to the back of it with the load that need to put in there, and then a bigger forklift would come up behind that forklift and scoop it up and lift it into the back of the truck. And then they would just drive in and place the pallet where it needed to go and back out to the edge, and the big forklift would lift the little one back down again. So there's all kinds of ways of doing stuff. A lot of the places I go to, they've got these safety features. They've got these docks that have locking jaws on them. And, or they'll have the chocks out there and they'll have signs up, release your air brakes, which, I always do that at a dock. Some places make you unhook the trailer or make you unhook the airlines, or they'll want to put a lock on the thing. And then I've got one place I go to, and there it's an uphill slope to back up to the dock. And they have no chocks, no nothing like that. It's nobody there speaks English. And they just run those forklifts in the back of my trailer like no care in the world. And then other places won't even let me. They won't even enter it until they see all the safety lights flashing the proper color and everything.
Yes, you are. Yeah, the ones there at that wheel plant had lights on them like that. But there was one guy there. I wasn't there at the time. But I've seen the forklift drivers do this. They go out and spin dynos, circles with those things, and they turn on a dime. Well, he was showing off one day, and it was on a weekend. Nobody was there, and it flipped over on him, and the counterweight landed on his leg. He lost his foot up above his ankle.
I would not be playing around with that. I know they turn sharp, but they get carried away. They get comfortable on them, and then they think they can, do tricks on them. That's a good way to lose something like that.
One there at the wheel plant on night shift, it ran off of the ramp onto the, basically where the truck's back in. I don't know how in the world he did that, but he did. That didn't work out too well either. He was gone the next day. But they were real strict about safety there. If you got on a JLG that could put you up against the ceiling, if it was anything over the level with the JLG, you better have a harness on or they'd walk you to the door, and that was your last day. You had to have a full harness on. And God, I worked in a Condor up to 60 feet in the air regularly. And, because we had 50-ton and 20-ton, 10-ton overhead cranes, and we had no safety on. we just didn't.
Yeah, and I know that, especially the larger the company you are, the more of those regulations you got to have, it seems like, across the board. And sometimes it, but there's a reason for it. And I won't protest it. But sometimes you just got to get something done, and there's no other way of doing things.
If a 135-ton kiln one day with a 50-ton crane, and if my calculations are right, that's 100,000 pounds, and this thing was 135 tons. But we called the factory, and they okayed the lift. But it grunted, let me tell you that. And that truck had 56 tires on it, I think. And the rear end of it was, they had control lines from the front, and it was hydraulically controlled, the rear section of it. One of them even had a person back there on it at times.
You've seen video of them, and they can steer them around big corners and things like that. I think that's what you're talking about.
You know, it's funny, when they got up, we were on 13th Street, 1308, and they went up to 4th Street, and when they went around the corner in 4th Street, which was a pretty good size highway, they took out the stoplights, you know, that just knocked the pole over. And they had police escort.
That can happen, I guess, but the company, whoever's moving, the company will pay for it. So, well, Tom, we've done it again. You've talked me all the way to the house, even though I took a break there to talk to my daughter, but I've enjoyed it. And the wheel plant, real quick, what kind of wheels were those again?
Wheels. It was a fascinating plant. You know, I worked on a German helium leak detector, mass spectrometer and all that stuff. It was pretty neat. But all the processes they go through with those wheels are just totally amazing. They made all kinds of wheels, even the Hummer wheels, and mostly for General Motors, but there was also other companies are Ford, Chevy, Hyundai. I've seen all kinds of wheels go through there, but you'd just be amazed. They was more scared of a wheel getting out of a plant that was bad than they did someone stealing a wheel, which didn't happen with all their security. But that's what we made. Most of them went to General Motors.
Saying wheel plant, and we were talking about forklifts, and there for a second I was thinking you were talking about forklift tires, but that makes sense. Yeah, that my last pickup every night is from a company called Raymond / Carolina Handling. It's two different companies owned by the same one now, and they're forklifts and forklift parts and things, and I pick up a lot of forklift tires from them. Those things are heavy.
Oh, yeah, you're dang right. And that big one was especially heavy, but even the small ones, and some of them are solid and some of them are not, but this was a machine shop and structural shop, so there were lots of shavings in that. And so I think they finally went to the solid. I didn't have to mess with them, but, you know, the shavings off of those machines, there was tons of them, and they would cut those tires if they were pneumatics.
Tires are solid with a rubber wrap around it or something. Anyway, not really any air-filled tires or anything. That'd be too much weight for them. But I'm in the driveway. I'm going to go in, take a shower and get something to eat, and then go right back to bed and start all over again. So enjoy it, Tom. You and Miss Bernice have a good evening, and thanks for the ride-along. N0TR, N4ZLK.
Next day, you made it home. You've been blessed, and that's the main thing, Shane. All right, we'll talk to you later. It's been a pleasure. N4ZLK, N0TR73, Shane.